Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's Sports Radio 610. I hope everyone had a great 4th of July weekend as best you possibly could. I know it was a little bit different, but I mean, hey, it was still gorgeous weather out there. It wasn't like too blazing hot. You get a chance to play a little golf, fish, barbecue, hang out with the family, do all that kind of good stuff. Sean Bajani and former Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts, the third in for Payne and Pendergast this morning and really all week. I'm not going to be here all week. You will be here all week.
Yep.
Every single morning. So I know you're excited about that.
Yeah.
That was a wink and a nod, kind of like tongue-in-cheek statement I just made because I'm sure you're excited about this, but I haven't even had a chance to ask you off air yet. How did it go waking up this morning with trying to be quiet and keep seven kids asleep?
So, oh man, we just started last Wednesday of trying to get the kids to sleep in their rooms. So the whole basically quarantine, the whole pandemic, they've been sleeping in our room, the big four, I like to call them. The older three, the triplets, they stay in their own room. But the big four, we try to transition them back up to their room, getting ready for the school year, whatever that looks like.
What's the big four look like? What are the ages?
9-year-old boy, Cecil the fourth, Peyton, our 6-year-old girl, Montana, our 4-year-old boy, and then Harper, our 3-year-old girl.
9, 6, 4, 3, and then 3 at 20 months.
Yes.
And then Lord almighty.
The 6, 4, and 3-year-old were up late last night talking about, Daddy, I'm scared. Daddy, I'm like, go back to your rooms and go to sleep. I ain't going to sleep till about 12:30. So I was up pretty late, 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you were up later than I was.
Yeah.
Last night was bath night for my 2-month-old.
Okay.
And that always goes really well. And I'm being serious about that. Like, ever since, like, his third bath, it goes really well. You know, he loves it. He just sits there and lets you kind of do whatever. He enjoys
it. You rub on him.
Yeah.
The life, though. Somebody's bathing you. Somebody's feeding you. Somebody's putting you to sleep.
I tried to tell him that, you know, after the first couple, and he was screaming his head off. And I'm like, you have no idea how good you have it. I wish mommy would do this all the time.
I know, right?
But it worked out. You know, it's like, I think I went to bed like around 11 or whatever, but I was up promptly at 3:25 this morning.
Oh, wow.
I got here right around 4 o'clock. And, yeah, so there's my morning with no coffee. No coffee. We'll see how long it lasts. See, the plan was last night I told my wife, I said, all right, you get two options because I'm leaving early, period.
Mm-hmm.
So I can wake up at 4 and I'm just out the door, okay, if our baby's still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can wake up at 3:30. And we can wake him up. I can feed him and change him and do all that. And you can still try to put him back to sleep because I'm out the door at 4. And so she chose option A.
Okay.
Well, I decided to wake up early anyway because I always get a little extra nervous when I have the morning show. You know, you never know how those things are going to go sometimes. Ben looked at me because the last time Ben Gary, who's producing today, the last time Ben Gary and I were together on a morning show, I was supposed to do it with James Ahedebo, and James Ahedebo forgot that he had the morning show that day. I did two hours.
I don't even remember this.
Hey, this was like 5-6 months ago, man. It was a long time ago. And maybe even longer than that. And so it was like me and Ben doing 2 hours of morning radio by ourselves. No, you know what? That was with Chris Jones, not you. But you did it. You also had to bail me out another time or two when somebody didn't show up.
Did James show up?
Eventually. No, he did not show up. Landry Locker came in early and hung out. And then John McClain was scheduled that I didn't know about. And he came in and hung out.
So that was a day.
So, yeah, we just had a grand old time. So needless to say, like after Ben and I look at each other and he goes, is Cecil coming? And it's like, Yeah, Cecil's going to be here. He's just locked out because, you know, he doesn't know where his fob is, so I got to go prop a door open.
Yes.
Nevertheless, there's a lot going on in our lives. I'm sure there's plenty going on in yours. There's even more going on, finally, in the sports world. I just kind of, you know, I come in here and I sit down. I'm trying to think, like, okay, man, what do we got going on? What do we got? We are inside of a week before the NBA reports to their training camp reboot in Orlando, so I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. And then Major League Baseball. I mean, what a really good first week they had, right? They're out there. They're working out. Now, one guy in particular didn't have such a very good week, which we'll get to here in just a second. You finally saw the video for the first time, and that was just kind of a scary thing for me, talking about Masahiro Tanaka taking a liner off the head from Giancarlo Stanton. Like, if there's one dude, I mean, maybe there's a handful of guys on that Yankees team because they are really good. You have to admit that. But he was definitely one of those dudes you don't want to take a liner off of at any point in time, and that's Giancarlo Stanton. Probably Aaron Judge is the other, for sure.
For sure. But Stanton, I mean, he just his last name's Stanton. He just looks big. He's strong. He's powerful. Right? He can swing the bat. I mean, his bat speed is probably somewhere crazy. And you got to think, too, the ball is coming around, I don't know, 90, 100 miles an hour. How fast is it coming right back at you?
Yeah, probably, that short of distance. Probably plus 20 miles per hour.
Like, golly. And I'm just now seeing it this morning, and it's scary.
Yeah, Major League Baseball had a really good first few days. And what I was getting at when I really say that is, look, they had 38 positive tests. I think those numbers had just come out the last time you and I did the show on Friday. But I think it was just the players. It was 31 players and then seven other staff members across Major League Baseball. But only 19 of the 30 teams reported positive tests. That is the most encouraging thing to date in regards to this in sport, especially Major League Baseball, because that's only 1.2% out of 3,185 samples that they took. That is by far the lowest rate among major pro sports leagues in regards to testing. So a good week there in terms of what's going on with baseball. Now, back to Masahiro Tanaka, that was probably the scariest moment by far this past weekend. He takes the liner off the head. He lays motionless for 10 minutes. And if you haven't seen it, there is video. Yes, you know, workouts are closed and there's not a lot of media availability there. It's like stadium camera feed. And I think there's probably some media there at some point in time, but they're very restricted.
I would imagine.
I could be wrong on that, but I'm not sure.
I would imagine. I mean, you can sit around in the stadium and stay social, you know, the proper distance apart. And
I'm just kind
of
going
ways to go about it, you know.
I'm kind of going off of like Mark Berman of Fox 26. Like, you know, he's on top of everything. You know, he's got his phone on the computer monitor recording like updates for us all on Twitter.
I love the effort.
He always brings the effort, but. That was a really scary moment. He's since been released from the hospital, Tanaka has. And look, those always look really bad. But I have to tell you, my first thing when I saw that over the weekend, and this happened on Saturday, was why is nobody running out to this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody went out there. I mean, the catcher, I'm not sure exactly who that was, if it was Sanchez or not, Gabby Sanchez. But I think it took the trainer like 5 seconds to even jog out there, and I'm wondering the whole time, like, what is going on? And then I'm watching MLB Network, and I'm seeing Dan Plesac and Ron Darling talk about this. And Darling, I thought, who was like an idiot at the time when he'd said it, because I was like, this is stupid. There's no way they're thinking about this in the moment. He's like, social distancing. Everybody's worried, and they don't know what to do in regards to the social distancing.
I think that's still stupid. If I see somebody get beamed in the head like that, coming from a guy like that, Pat Stanton coming, I'm running out there. I'm not thinking about social distancing no more. I'm not thinking about COVID-19. I'm thinking about that individual that's on the ground that's in pain, obviously, right now.
Right.
You can die with something like that. Like, that's serious.
Oh, 100%.
Straight to the head?
It looked really bad. That looked like one of the worst ones I've seen. Sean Bajani and Cecil Shorts III in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. I mean, I remember, you know, being a kiddo, maybe 13, 14, maybe I was a little bit older than that. But when Billy Wagner, the former Astro closer, got hit in the head in the game in Arizona, he took it right off the side of the head as well, just like Tanaka. And Wagner was down, face in glove, face down in the ground, just that was the worst thing ever. And put it on top of that, it was a game at Arizona, so it's late at night, and everybody's watching their televisions, like, freaking out, like,
yeah,
this is bad.
Yeah.
This is really bad. And I don't know how many games, what the situation for Wagner was, but that's always the first one because I think it was one of the worst ones, maybe the worst one that I can recall that I'd seen in my life. But, man, I still think Darling is off base on that, you know, because, look, Stanton's like a foot away from the catcher at that point. That is the – John McClain, we had John McClain on Friday.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you don't hear about that because – the batter and the catcher in closest proximity with the umpire. I mean, all three of those guys are right there within, you know, 3 feet of each other. This can't be an issue going forward, but it might be.
This is something. And then, you know, I saw like a 10-second video and then a longer video. And nobody moves, though. So Stanton sees him get hit, and he's like, oh, my gosh. And he, like, drops to the ground.
He just drops to the ground.
Or he drops to the ground.
Hands
like,
on knees.
I don't know if he was praying or if he was just like, I can't believe I just did that. The catcher's right behind him. He kind of stands up and looks and is like slow to start walking to him. Second base, shortstop, the coach is in the field because it's like some type of drill. Everybody just standing there. No trainers running out. Like, you need to move. Like, this is dangerous.
It's
like, go out there and get him.
It's one thing when it's the opposing
pitcher. Take care
pitcher,
of him.
But the dude's on your team.
It's practice.
It's practice.
It's your team.
It's practice.
It's your team. Like, listen, if I was that pitcher, I want somebody to come help me.
Right.
Listen, I coached Little League baseball the last, I don't know, 4 years with my son.
Oh, nice. And, I didn't know this.
I was coach pitching a year or so ago, and two or three balls came close to beaming me in the head while I'm the pitcher.
Oh,
and I'm
pitch.
Like, yo, listen, I don't want no parts of getting hit with this
ball.
And that ball's coming fast.
That probably happens
right back at
like,
me.
I'm like, way too often in coach pitch. I always like think about those like videos in the backyard of like dads throwing to their sons, you know, usually with the wiffle ball, but you know one's going to come screaming back at the package. You know, like how many times have you seen dad get hit in the nuts? You know,
all
and
the
it's
time.
Just like that makes for the greatest video of ever, unless it's you.
Unless it's you. Very good point. Unless it's you. It's funny. It's good to watch.
But coach pitch, I always worry about that. I remember seeing my best friend's kiddo, you know, play coach pitch. And I was just thinking, like, God, I need an L screen. I need an L screen.
I tell you what.
It's the only way I would do this.
I tell you what. Well, I say that because I just, in Little League baseball, the ball's coming back hard. And it came a few times close to my head. I can't imagine a Major League baseball player hitting a ball back to me.
Yeah.
100 plus miles an hour at my head and getting hit with it.
Well, you know the exit velo off of like a 5-year-old's bat, you know, probably one thing versus the exit velocity.
I tell you what, that was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Pitch to 6-7-year-olds and you want them to hit the ball.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm striking them out. I'm missing. I'm like, oh, this is terrible.
I was laughing. It was a Josh Reddick talking the other day after he was made, I think it was yesterday, made available to the media via video conference. And they were asking him like, how'd BP go today? And he was like, well, ball looks like it's coming 300 miles per hour. And guys are taking it a little slow out there. It's like, I guess so. You haven't swung a bat for 3.5 months against real pitching anyway. All right, he's Cecil Shorts III, Sean Bajani with you, in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. Ben Gary producing. Coming up, we do have a little NBA news that I wanted to share with you, along with the NFL, who's not necessarily been as affected yet like other sports to this point, but what sort of change could be coming ahead of the actual football being played this season? We'll talk about it next at Sports Radio 610. Welcome back in. Good morning, Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani, that's me, along with former Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts III, in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. Ben Gary producing. So, news around the NBA before we get to a little NFL news this morning. I think at the close of business on Friday, Cecil, the LA Clippers had just become the latest team to shut down their practice facility amongst all this COVID mess, given another couple of positive tests at their facility. The Clippers at the time had joined the Denver Nuggets and the Brooklyn Nets in terms of teams that had to shut down. Since, the Miami Heat have had to shut down along with the Sacramento Kings, and the latest now is the Milwaukee Bucks. Mm. The Bucks, by the way, with the best record in the league before the stoppage in play, they now join these teams in having to shut down their practice facility just inside of now a week before they all travel to Orlando for this 22-team reboot. If you don't know how that's going to work, it's going to be 8 regular season games, quote-unquote, and then they'll enter the tournament. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be all of these things, kind of like baseball because it's shortened. It's a restart. It's something that's never been done before. And, yeah, there's a few players sprinkled throughout the course of the league that are not going to play. They have opted out. But for the most part, I think, you know, fans are going to be excited and interested to watch the return to play. My question is, though, here, before we move into the NFL, is that with these stoppages and shutdowns of practice facilities, I just got done seeing how encouraging it was for Major League Baseball to only show 1.2% positive tests out of, you know, more than 3,000 samples collected over the past week. Here you have the NBA. They can't even get it together with smaller amounts of people together in a practice facility. How's this thing going to look in Orlando, whether you're in a bubble or not?
Man, listen, it's a nervous feeling I have right now when it comes to any professional sport, right? And maybe it's because of, you know, we haven't had sports in the last 3-4 months. Obviously, it's because of the virus, but it's just like, I don't know how you can play, how you're going to avoid certain things.
Yeah.
Right? It's inevitable to me that somebody's going to get it while they're in a bubble, while they're playing, and it might be in the playoffs, or it might be as things, say they go 2-3 weeks perfectly and then somebody gets it. It's going to be like, what's next? What's going to happen? So
yeah.
I don't think you can avoid it. I'm just hoping you can. And I don't want it to shut down. Like, we've been out without sports for so long.
Yeah.
And this is an exciting time, like you mentioned, because you got baseball coming soon. You got basketball starting on the 9th as far as training camp. And then you got football right around the corner, college football, mm-hmm. high school sports are coming back. So it's just like an exciting time. It's a buildup. I just don't want to be let down.
That's the thing. And what that letdown is going to look like, Rockets general manager Daryl Morey is expected to speak with the media later on this morning. I think he's typically done that around like 10:30.
Okay.
If he does it before, and maybe we're able to get something before, we'll certainly bring that to you. But I bring that up because, well, that's one of the questions that I would want to ask him. I don't know if he could give us a real answer, if this is kind of like a hush-hush thing at this point in time, or just something they flat out don't really want to discuss in detail. But my number one question was, as you know, my brother, Ali Bajani, he writes for The Athletic. We were texting back and forth last night, and he said, hey, you know, I'm going to be on this call tomorrow with Daryl. Is there anything that you want me to ask or you think I should ask? And I said, well, my number one question is what is the worst case scenario that has been discussed among league brass that would warrant another stoppage in play in Orlando? Mm. Because you and I talked about it a little bit last Friday, I think it was. Where I said, you know, it's one thing to stop play in the course of that 8-game regular season schedule they're going to begin in Orlando late July and early August. That's one thing. It's a completely different thing if you have star players,
yeah.
maybe test positive,
yeah.
in a playoff tournament-style scenario.
Yep.
So what's been discussed? Because there has to be a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C in place, you would think, to this point, given so much time off and everything that is going on.
Well, they have to have that discussion, right? Well, what's the word? If this happens, what do we do? If this happens, what do we do? If this happens, what do we do? You have to be fully prepared for anything that might happen and the unexpected. So for me, if you get started with something, unless there's a crazy outbreak of, you know, COVID everywhere, I'm assuming you're going to keep going with the league or whatever happens. That individual or individuals will have to sit out for 2 weeks, continue to get tested, and go through the protocol, whatever that protocol looks like. And actually, the NFL just came out with a protocol, what their protocol would look like if you have it, if you have symptoms, if you don't have symptoms, whatever the case may be.
Right.
But I'm sure the NBA has the exact same thing, right? It's just you don't probably want to say that to you just mentioned how encouraging it is. You don't want to come out with that right now or put it out to the public because it's all this excitement building up and everything that's going on.
Right.
But my thing is, if already, and you mentioned it already, the Bucks, the Kings, the Nets, the Clippers, the Heat all shut down their facilities.
Yeah.
And on an NBA team, it's just players alone, 15, 16 guys.
Yeah.
Coaches, 6-7 guys.
You're talking about, yeah, another staff. You're looking at like
trainers,
upwards of
4 or
30
5, like
trainers. And here's the thing. I know, I'm sure they've come out with this. I don't remember the exact number, how stringent they're going to be. But, you know, like equipment guys, like they've probably had to dial back like the amount of people that are going to be made available that generally travel with a team, because maybe there's people that already in place at Orlando that are going to be kind of like every men for every team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And now I think about it, too, they're probably all living at home with their kids, with their wives, with significant others, whatever the case may be. You never know who they are around and who may have it, and they may have given it to somebody else. In this bubble, I'm assuming the goal is to keep everybody isolated, so this won't happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So hopefully what happens with the teams I just named that they have to shut down their facility won't happen in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens.
Well,
I get nervous.
I mean, I'm always nervous. I'm kind of like Sean Doolittle. I don't know if you saw his comments over the weekend. Washington Nationals pitcher Sean Doolittle was talking about this whole thing and just about coming back in general. And it's like, well, look, if things are the way they are in society, like pro sports should kind of be like a reward for what we're doing and how we're handling this whole thing from a societal standpoint. And he's saying, it doesn't seem like we have a very good grasp on this thing yet. So why exactly are sports ready to come back?
That's a good point.
I thought it was a really good point. We'll actually talk a little bit more about that later on, because he had some really good things to say. Meanwhile, the NFL, not directly affected as of yet in terms of games played, although the NFL and the NFLPA have explored the option. It's not even an option now. This is something they have done. They are prepared to lop off the first and the fourth preseason game for the Texans. That means no Vikings. That means no Cowboys game. They will play the Saints, and I don't know why I forget the other home game that they're going to play at NRG. But they're going to have two preseason games this season. The NFLPA, though, isn't necessarily content with that. They actually want zero preseason games. Mm. And I think that is not just this year, but I think they have the hopes that maybe this is something they can kind of bring about change for future years. I think all you really need to concern yourself with is what's happening here in the next couple of months. Two preseason games. Now, the NFLPA wants none. Is that realistic in your mind?
Well, I don't know if ownership in the NFL need the NFLPA to make that decision, if that makes sense. I don't know if they need their help to make that decision, or if legally they have to be involved to make that decision. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if this even needed. Now, if you think about high school and college ball, there is no preseason. There is none.
Yeah.
You have training camp. You have your camp. You have scrimmages within each other. So maybe if it's college, you have the spring game. Or if it's college, you are scrimmaging versus each other, ones versus ones or twos versus twos, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And In high school, you actually scrimmage other opponents. So growing up, and even in little league football, growing up, you've never had preseason. So I don't necessarily think it's a need to have preseason.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a player trying to make the team, it might be a little harder. But that's just something that you have to deal with. That's just something that comes with the territory, right? So for me, I think it's safer for the guys. I think you can have guys that are less beat up. And then that practice time with the scrimmages, you can see a lot. You can see a lot. Say the Detroit Lions come to town. By the way, the other team on the Texans preseason was the Seahawks.
Thank you.
That's what I wanted to tell you. So say the Seahawks come to town and versus the Texans, they can get some good live scrimmaging, ones versus ones, twos versus twos, threes versus threes. Put your rookies out there. Put your guys that are trying to make it on the bubble. Good special teams practices. So you can see everything you can see.
Yeah.
You see everything you need to see during a practice. Right. Mm-hmm. Even the play calling during a scripted practice.
But were you alluding to like, all right, so the Seattle Seahawks come to town for it would be the Texans' first preseason game. Would there be joint practices between those two teams? Or is this something that the NFL would squash just to limit the interaction between a team that is coming from halfway across the country to here in Houston, then knowing you're going to play a game later that week?
Yeah.
Like, these are all things that I know fans love and the media loves from a coverage and visual standpoint. And, you know, look, we like to see them mix it up and things like that. But joint practices, in my mind, they're probably squashed, aren't they? Just to limit that exposure from, like I said, people coming from halfway across the country to another place that are going to stay for a few days.
Yeah, I understand that perspective, especially in the heat of everything right now.
Like, where do you draw the line, honestly?
And you mentioned that you're coming from halfway across the country. Like, they're always in the left corner, not halfway, but, you know, you come from Seattle over here, you have to fly, you have to get a hotel, it's all this stuff you have to do that goes into it. And then on top of that, it's a physical game. Spit, blood, all this stuff is going to get on top of each other. So it was interesting to see how things would go. For me, I think you need scrimmages, though. I think that's a need. I think you need to go against somebody else before you play.
100%.
So I'm not sure what that would look like. But to me, I hope they don't get rid of it. I hope they, if they cut preseason games, which I'm fine with, the inter-squad scrimmages should happen, in my opinion. It's just maybe, okay, say it's you in Dallas, right? You're going in-state or somebody that's close to you instead of somebody that's so far, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. You know, in regards to having zero preseason
good point.
Or even splitting the preseason in half from this point going forward in years, we had John McClain on this past Friday. He didn't think there's any way that zero happens going forward, and maybe not even two going forward, unless the NFL gets that 17th game, and they will get that 17th game ahead of the 2022 season. That, according to what has been agreed upon in the most recent CBA. And there's maybe even, hope for an 18th game at some point in time in the NFL. That, I think, is a longer way down the road than any time here in the near future. 713-572-4610, 572-4610, if you'd like to be a part of the show. I want to talk a little bit more about the NFL and what it needs to do to prepare and some of the most difficult questions they're going to have coming into the 2020 season. We'll get to that. And also, otherwise, encouraging first week for Major League Baseball. We'll give you the winners and biggest losers from over the weekend. It's next. Sean Bajani, Cecil Short, in for Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani and former Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts III in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. We're with you until 10. Ben Gary producing. 713-572-4610. You can call or text 572-4610. So I just had one question for you, Cecil, in regards to wrapping up our conversation about the NFL and the NFLPA's potential future battle in terms of preseason games. One of the questions that you asked in our rundown was, you know, look, would the only issue be money? And one of our texters this morning already sent in, well, hey, look, do the players want the canceled preseason games to come out of their salary? The players never want to lose any kind of money for any reason. And I think, you know, the sentiment among NFL players right now is, hey, we don't want to play this many preseason games, and we don't really want to play any more regular season games either, okay? Just cut the games, and let's get to the 16-game NFL schedule. Well, we know now, like here in the next couple of years, that's going to change. They're going to get a 17th game. If that means knocking off a preseason game, then so be it. It's probably going to go down. But John McClain mentioned a couple of other issues in regards to this battle, you know, that is going to certainly continue in the NFL, and that is, look, there are some other things. Yeah, they might have an 11-year CBA in place, but there are some other things that this pandemic and the preseason games and how many they want to play that could present problems for both sides here in the next couple of years. And I think it's a very real situation here.
It's going to be interesting. I think this is the year where we'll see a lot of, how do I want to put this? This thing of preseason games. They want to cut him anyways, but because of everything that's going on, it's like a free option to be able to cut some preseason games and see how it flows.
Right.
So this would be like a trial year almost for a few things, including that. Let's cut a few games and see how much money that we'll make or how much money we'll lose. Is it that big of a deal? Can we make up for it throughout the season? Say we add we take away two preseason games, but we add another game or we add two games to it. Will that make up for it? It's just a lot that goes into it that we don't necessarily think about on a daily basis.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it moves forward.
The money lost and, you know, that is not going to be made, too, I think, comes down to, has this been final? Like, didn't I hear something last week where an NFL stadiums are going to tarp off basically that whole first little row or few rows, like, close to the field? And there's going to be, like, sponsorship. So you're taking away butts and seats right there. Ben, you're nodding your head. Yes, is that final yet? Yeah. Did they decide?
I remember us talking about it. I don't remember if it's final.
Yeah, I don't know. You know,
definitely
what?
Definitely in the conversation.
At this point, I don't know if anything's final.
Definitely an option what they're trying to do to help I guess, keep everybody safe and keep the game safe and keep the guys all right.
Here's the thing, too, I was thinking about. Like, all right, you kill two preseason games going forward. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it's going to be fine. Maybe even you get to a point to where you have, like, one tune-up. And that one tune-up would be against a team that is, you know, close to you geographically.
Correct. Okay? For us, it would be what? The Cowboys?
Be the Cowboys. Or, and people around here would love that. Yep. People up there would love that. I mean, you get to see them for sure every year.
Yep.
Whether it be maybe twice if it's regular season two. You know, every 4 years, you get to see them twice if you did something like that. But would teams be willing to travel? Maybe you would do this geographically as well, but would teams be willing to travel just to have, like, joint practices for a week? But not a game
before the season.
Before the season.
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, so? this thing of the Texans. There's always somebody close nearby. The Saints 4 hours away, mm-hmm. Louisiana. And then Dallas is right down the road, by the same distance. So I think teams will be willing to if they think that's going to help them get over. Right now, to be honest, some NFL coaches do not like the joint practices. They're like, no, we're not going to do this. We'll stay with our guys. So if they give them an option, some guys will be like, no, nah, we're okay. We'll just prepare for ourselves. We'll prepare ourselves. We'll be fine and good, yeah, ready to go. But every coach I've been around loves the joint practices. A lot of players love the joint practices, but not too long. I wouldn't say a week. That's kind of like, all right, you're doing too much, whatever. But to have a switch up every now and again to hit somebody else or go against somebody else that doesn't know your plays, doesn't know your every move, it would be a good switch up, and it's a good tune up for the season.
What are they typically here for? Like, if there's a Saturday game, are they rolling in on Wednesday and they have a session Wednesday, Thursday, and you kind of, they each go about their own business on Fridays, like with the walkthroughs?
Yep. It's normally you practice against those guys for 2 days, mm-hmm. and then that third day is the walkthrough, and then Saturday or Friday, like you mentioned, we play this.
You wouldn't want the opposition hanging around the facilities for a week.
We don't want you around that much. Go on somewhere and do what you do. This is our home.
Things that can happen. Bill Belichick would find a way to, like, get over on
him. Oh, man. He'll put those secret cameras in there. All types of stuff. You never know who he got working for him.
Sean Bajani and Cecil Shorts, the third in for Payne and Pendergast this morning. So the biggest winners and losers over the weekend for Major League Baseball. I'd mentioned this already. I think this really is a huge win for Major League Baseball, the 38 positive tests. That's only 1.2%, by far the lowest among pro sports leagues. I think a big win there. I don't think we would disagree on that. The next one is this, totally unrelated to that of the COVID mess. I feel like baseball's biggest win was handled by Cleveland Indians. Can I say that? Can I say Cleveland Indians?
You can.
Okay.
You can, for right now.
Cleveland Indians manager Terry Francona, he handled this name change conversation perfectly. Take a listen.
I know in the past when I've been asked about whether it's our name or Chief Wahoo, I think I would usually answer and say, I know that we're never trying to be disrespectful. And I still feel that way. But I don't think that's a good enough answer today. I think it's time to move forward.
Now, the Cleveland Indians haven't, I think, flat out and come out and used the specific verbiage that the Washington Redskins have, like they're under a thorough review of a name change like the Redskins are. But Terry Francona is absolutely behind the movement to change the name. A lot of people probably forgot about this, but I think it was maybe 2-3 years ago where the Indians flat out changed their logo. They stopped the branding of the traditional logo, you know, the one that you see in Major League. I mean, that's just not used. Chief Wahoo. They do not use that anymore. But the Cleveland Indians logo was so popular because it was so different, so unique for so long. I mean, they've had that for years and years and years. You probably didn't know it because you still see a lot of it.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think Terry Francona handled that question perfectly. And the reason why I say that is just given everything that is going on right now in this country, whether we're talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter movement or changing this name for this pro sports team or that name for this pro sports team, just flat out, Cecil, people being a little apprehensive to have a real conversation about major topics that people want to have conversations about. Terry Francona, I love it, flat out said, look, before, I maybe kind of sidestepped it and said, yes, look, we're never trying to offend anybody by the use of it, but, you know, it kind of is what it is type of thing. It needs to change, and the fact that, you know, look, if you said, if I asked you to like give me like a Mr. Baseball in Major League Baseball right now, Terry Francona and a select other few managers would probably be the guy that you would first think of. I think Mr. Baseball, I think Terry Francona, a guy that's been around the game for ages and ages, for him to say that and kind of lead this charge, not just for the Cleveland Indians, but really for Major League Baseball, I think was huge.
Yeah, I think he did a good job. I think that especially in the time that we're in, he answered the question correctly. He didn't beat around the bush.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't scared to say, hey, in the past, I've avoided it. You know what I mean? But he was honest. He said, we never meant to offend anybody. But if that's the case, we need to do something about it.
Yeah.
And flat out, he didn't say, he didn't like try to explain himself or try to make an excuse for anything. He just said it straight on. And I love that. We need more of that from our coaches, from not just baseball, but all in all.
And here's the thing. Terry Francona hadn't been the Indians manager for 10 years.
He hasn't.
20 years.
He has not.
He's been there for a couple of 3 years. And at least I feel like it may have been like 4 or 5. I don't know. Like
I think time, it's more in the 4 and 5 range.
Time goes by very fast these days, and I lose track of things like that. But my point is he's not a lifer, okay? He was a Boston Red Sox. So that's probably like how many people remember, you know, Terry Francona as the Red Sox manager. Right. And so it takes a different kind of dude, somebody that's ready to take charge and become a leader to say this and take ownership of it for a guy that hadn't been there, you know, for a very long time. So I appreciate that. That was a big win this weekend, I think, for Major League Baseball. And then two, I kind of mentioned this to you last Friday. I'm not exactly very excited about baseball starting. It's only 60 games. And I was under the, I had the opinion, you know, a couple of months ago, like, look, all this mess going on between the MLB and MLBPA, the infighting and things like this, not knowing if they even want to play or not. I was like, if you're only going to play 60 games, why even play at all? I don't even care.
Mm.
Just come back, play 162 when you guys are ready, and then let's get it going. And I get so mad at both sides whenever there's this labor dispute, right? But what changed my mind is kind of hopping around all of the teams on the coverage this weekend. And look, there's a lot less coverage now than you're used to seeing because of everything that's going on. But I got excited again. Like in hearing Josh Reddick and Alex Bregman and some of the other Astros, Dusty Baker, talk about workouts and things like that, I got excited because I'm listening to dudes talk about baseball, not talk about how COVID's going to affect the game, not all that mess, because I'm talked out of that stuff. You know,
we all are. Yeah,
I'm sick and tired of it, and I don't even do a show every single day for a living, but. It was nice to hear dudes talk about baseball, and then seeing the video, like them hitting and throwing and stuff like that, they're laughing, they're cutting up. They genuinely look excited to be doing what they get paid to do and have been wanting to do for the better part of the last 3.5-4 months now.
See, I'm kind of opposite of you. When I heard 60 games, I'm like, yes, I don't want this long, dragged out season where I'm not really getting excited till the end of the year when games start really getting serious and guys start coming to play and you like all the pretenders in the beginning who are to start off good. They kind of just, you know, kind of go to the wayside during the season. Then the real guys come, the real team, the guys that are prepared, and the best teams show up at the end, right? So for me, it's like if I look at the Nationals last year, the first half of the season, it's like they were nowhere to be found. So who would have thought they would have won the championship? So this year I'm excited because it's like, all right, this first 60 games. Who's going to be the hottest team in baseball early on? Is it going to be one of the favorites? Is it going to be somebody we never even thought of? Is it going to be somebody that comes out the blue?
Yeah.
And it's like more games will be more important early on.
You're really going to have to stop referencing how fantastic the world champion title is for the Washington Nationals.
Because I apologize.
I'm quite frankly very sick and tired of hearing how miraculous that was.
I will give you a hug, but we're social distancing in studio, so I'm not going to do that. But I feel sorry for you. But I tell you what. Another reason I'm excited for baseball, I think baseball has the best chance out of all the major sports to finish this season. You just gave me the stats. 1.2% have corona, right?
It's definitely the most encouraging right now,
The most encouraging sport to me because of how baseball is played.
Yeah.
Everybody's in the field. They're all separated based off position, right? Mm-hmm. The closest you get is either in the dugout or batter, catcher, umpire.
Yeah.
That's the closest you're going to get. So for me, already it's only 1.2%. Already you're in a position where it's a better chance for you, in my opinion, because other sports are more physical, more beat up, more stuff can come on you, I guess, whatever the case may be. But I just feel like baseball has the best chance to finished the whole season out of everybody else.
I was just thinking like the NBA, because there's only 8 regular season games for 22 teams. Okay.
And then what it goes down to, 8 and 8,
then 16. Then the playoffs start, right? So however that's going to be formatted, you know, I mean, let's see, you're going to have 16 teams, so 6 are going to be out. Okay, so you remove, you know, 90 players from that bubble right there after 8 games. And then the playoffs start, and you're staying in the bubble. You're not going anywhere, and it's not going to last that long. I mean, it's probably going to last just slightly under the length of the baseball season, so there's that. But, you know, I'm just thinking, like, man, you're dealing with, you know, 26-man roster in Major League Baseball. They're going to start, I think, with 30 for a couple of weeks, then drop to 28, and then drop another couple of weeks to 26. So there's going to be a lot of changes there, and they're still traveling.
They are traveling. That is a thing. They are traveling. The good thing about the NBA is the bubble. I just feel like, I don't know. I just get the most encouragement from baseball right now.
I need
the
baseball.
Complete season, and nothing's going. Not no mishaps will happen, but the least. I feel like that league has the least amount of, not pressure, but that league will last basically.
What right the now. NBA
or no the MLB? MLB. That's just my opinion. I think you said NBA.
Yeah. You think Major League Baseball has the most pressure?
The best opportunity. No, I just said the wrong word. Not pressure.
Okay.
I just think they have the best opportunity.
Because I think they probably do have the most pressure to finish, just given the last 3.5 months and how that's gone
you
between
think so?
The two sides. Absolutely, because you know, look, I feel like fans in the media, they were just like, dude, seriously, you guys are fighting over this? Like, yeah, Major League Baseball is trying to, you know, save a buck. Right. I mean, they don't want to lose all their money. Mm-hmm. So, yes, their 3 different proposals ended up being like, you know, similar amounts of prorated money that your players are going to make. But still, they're trying to put the product out there.
Where do you feel like the NFL is as far as pressure? Because they're sitting back and able to watch the MLB, the NBA, the everything else. Where do you feel like the pressure is for them?
I'll say the pressure's mounting for the NFL. And it certainly would be they would have all the pressure. If there was a stoppage in the NBA season again and a stoppage in Major League Baseball again, are you kidding me? There would be all kinds of pressure on college and pro football from this point going forward if that unfortunately happened. Here's a couple of my biggest losses over the weekend for Major League Baseball. I think, number one, you know, we'd been talking about, like, well, Mike Trout, you know, is he still contemplating not playing this season? Well, the answer to that question is yes. He's working out, but still is not sure if he's going to play. But we got our first answer in terms of, like, a high-profile name that will not play in 2020. David Price became the first. And, look, Felix Hernandez became another guy in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He's decided not to play, cited COVID as a reasoning. Those are two of your biggest names. I mean, look, that's not Aaron Judge. That's not Mike Trout. That's not Jose Altuve or a George Springer or a Chris Bryant. That's not those guys. But I asked the question, you know, last week. There's going to be a trickle-down effect. We are going to see that from the NBA to Major League Baseball and even to the NFL and even college sports. At a certain point in time, if this thing stays pretty much where it's at right now, guys will opt out. Guys will choose family and personal
Absolutely.
Health
Absolutely.
Over even money, Cecil. But money's the biggest thing because people don't realize in Major League Baseball, if you opt out and you don't have pre-existing conditions, you are not getting paid. You are not getting that service time. Only if you have pre-existing conditions are you going to get paid and are you going to get service time in Major League Baseball.
Pre-existing conditions meaning what?
If you have a pre-existing condition that would make you more vulnerable to the virus and you choose to opt out, Major League Baseball will honor your salary and honor your service time.
So meaning like you have something wrong with your body, like an illness?
Correct.
I got you. And so if you don't have that, it's no guarantee.
And I don't want to, you know, pretend like I know all the specifics, but I'm guessing if it was something like, asthma, or if you had some sort of respiratory issue, or if you had like maybe an irregular heartbeat or things like that. Something that would make you vulnerable.
That's interesting.
Biggest losers directly here in Houston, Yordan Alvarez, Jose Urquidy. They have not shown up to camp for undisclosed reasons. Josh James and Joe Smith, they were out as well. But we know why. Josh James, he's got family-related reasons. And then Joe Smith has flat out said he's still concerned about his family's safety and health and is not sure if he's going to play this year. So those are the biggest losers through Major League Baseball and winners over the weekend. 713-572-4610. 572-4610 is how you get in. You can call or text. Cecil Shorts III and Sean Bajani in for Payne and Pendergast. 7 o'clock hour coming up. We'll talk a little bit about an unconventional way Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson has approached his prep for the 2020 season. We'll tell you next at Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.